Hey, Tim, it's the very end of the year.
Yeah.
We want to do an end of the year recap podcast episode. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing. Well, I'm looking at you over Google Hangout chat. We're not in the studio because there's still a bug, still a virus.
Yeah. We spent a lot of time not in the studio this year.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And so here we are.
Yeah. It's the end of the year. This is our end of the year like episode conversation.
It is.
Yeah.
And you know, not very often do we get to release an episode that we just recorded.
That's right.
Where it's like the things we're talking about is actually happening right now.
Yeah.
And so here we are. I am just incredibly grateful again. It has been a great year for us. We've been able to produce content without a hitch. Hmm. The amount of support that's coming through has just been incredible. Mm-hmm. And we're just continually blown away. And so we're just thankful. We're thankful for another year. Thank you guys for hanging out with us for this year.
Yeah, this year has been full of so many challenges, but at the same time, it's just been amazing to get to do this work on these videos, all these conversations and the podcast. Our team is just so grateful in the midst of a really challenging year. There you go. I think that's how a lot of people are feeling as they come to the end of this year. It's this kind of mixed set whole swirl of feelings.
Yeah. In June, we had our 200th episode of this podcast.
Yeah, man. Milestone.
It's a lot of us talking about the Bible.
Yeah. And I think we had it in true 2020 form. We were also remote then. We weren't in a room together doing that conversation.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Wow.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because it was a little addition we made to the Apocalyptic, a How to Read Apocalyptic series, and we did it remotely. That was our 200th episode.
So we asked on our 200th episode for people to send in some audio of their favorite series that they've listened to.
Yeah.
And we got a bunch of great responses.
Yeah.
And I'd love to listen to them with you.
John, I would love to listen to them with you.
And with you.
And with all listener. Of you. That's totally right.
Which one should we start with?
Rob.
Hello, Bible Project. My name is Rob, and I am a pastor in Ohio. And first, I just want to say how much I love your podcast and your videos. They have helped me just be a better pastor and just be a better teacher overall. I look forward to them all the time. You have led me to different places to read and to study and to just go deeper. And so that's been awesome and just amazing. I'm just grateful, truly grateful for the work that you do. Your podcast, I've listened to nearly every episode and I love it. Listened to them multiple times. A couple have really stood out to me. The ones on Law and Torah, on wisdom. And then really the one that hit me the biggest was the one on trees, which I didn't realize would, but it did. And there's a tree outside my house that I stare at nearly every day. And it makes me think about all kinds of things. And as I listened to your podcast, I realized that here in this tree and these trees around me and these things around me are these cosmological axioms, these things that point to God. And really the big image that has stuck with me that you guys talked about was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the idea of sitting at it, at the foot of it, or kind of having to walk past it to get to the tree of life and to wait upon the Lord to give you wisdom instead of taking it. That image has changed my life. And that's not too dramatic to say, because I think of that image nearly every day. And I think about moments where, man, I really want something. And then I imagine sitting at the foot of the tree and saying, well, just wait. God will provide it in God's time. So really, I can't thank you enough. Your work has made me a better teacher, a better pastor, and really a better follower of Jesus. So God bless you all. And thank you for what you do. All right, take care.
Wow, Rob, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rob. I feel like I need to think about what we talked about more more than I have. Or it's been so long ago, I need to think about it all over again. That's powerful stuff. I agree. Yeah.
Rob sounds a lot like, you ever listen to Khan Academy?
No.
Sounds a lot like Sal Khan from
Does
Khan
he really?
Academy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Rob. You got the same cadence, same inflection of voice.
Huh.
It's wild. Must be an Ohio thing, maybe. I don't know if Sal's from Ohio, but thank you for those words. The Tree series actually is a really popular series.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people found that really valuable, and I did too. I remember talking with you about it and just this image of, you know, we talked about how the two trees are kind of like, you kind of get the sense that they're both in the middle of the garden, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And we talked about how you kind of have to walk under the branches of the tree of the knowledge of good and bad to get to the tree of life, kind of ducking under those branches. And then I love how Rob said, just sitting there patiently. What a cool image. Thanks, Rob.
In fact, those conversations were so rich that they are spawning another video that you and I are concocting to work on in 2021 on eternal life.
Oh, yeah.
A theme video on eternal life.
Because
there's so much about that that we talked about in the tree series, but that we didn't ever get to in the Tree of Life video. So we're going to...
I have so many questions for you.
Oh, me too.
You have questions for yourself?
I do.
It doesn't work that way.
Questions that I'm excited to go after.
Tell me one nugget.
Well, so what's interesting, this phrase eternal life, in Hebrew it's the phrase chaye olam. It only appears once in the book of Daniel. There are other forms of it. Length of days, long life. But life of the age appears just in the book of Daniel. And so what I'm interested in is how did, and Daniel's like, its prediction of the resurrection and new creation at the last chapter is kind of like the blossom, the full flower blossom of a theme with roots all the way back to the tree of life. And it's a very common phrase in Second Temple Judaism and it's in the New Testament. Life of the new age is the eternal life. Actually, the first thing we'll do is talk about why eternal life is not a very good translation of the...
Of course we will.
Literally, it's life of the age.
Life of the age. Does that mean...
the age to come.
But is it also life that never ends?
Yeah, by definition, life of the new creation is life that transcends death.
Transcends death.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It's going to be a great conversation.
That is going to be a great conversation. So that's coming in 2020.
Yep. Or in 21.
Sorry, 21. You know, I do that even with like writing dates, you know, the next year. It takes me to like March to figure it out.
Totally. I think we've got a comment from Nathaniel.
Hi, my name is Nathaniel and I'm from Trinidad and Tobago, but I currently live in Pennsylvania. My favorite podcast series is the one on the exile. I found that the series spoke to my experience in a natural sense, being that I was born in Trinidad and lived there for 8 years, but also spent parts of my childhood growing up in two other countries. So since childhood, I've identified with what it means to be a foreigner. But this series also spoke to my experience in a spiritual sense as well. I have early memories of feeling as though the world is not what it should be, that suffering and death and injustice are all violations of what our experience as human beings ought to be. I've grown up with the strong sense that this is not home, and with a deep longing for my true home. And this series spoke to each of these, and so it's been immensely helpful for me. My favorite episode is actually not part of the series, but part of the apocalyptic literature series, and it's the Blood Cries Out episode. It put to words so many of the feelings that have been stirring in me for the past several weeks. And for me, it was just so helpful being able to hone in on the way the Bible speaks about the events, like the ones we've been experiencing recently. I just found it's so profound and timely, and I'm really grateful for it. So thank you, Tim and John, and the entire Bible Project team. Your work has been so helpful in my walk with Jesus. God bless you guys.
Yeah, the Blood Cries Out episode, you know, that we were talking through apocalyptic literature.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was right around the time that here in America, there was a lot of protests happening around some social injustice.
Yeah.
That was happening.
Yeah, and everything that spilled out of the murder of George Floyd, which of course highlighted all these fault lines in American culture that are very old, all these raw wounds in our culture around racial injustice.
And it just so happened that the Book of Revelation, which is an apocalyptic, written in the apocalyptic genre, had some stuff to say about that. So that was a great opportunity.
Yeah, that's right.
To do that.
You know, hearing Nathaniel's reflections too, because he was talking about the exile conversations, in video and how those also were meaningful to him. So first, I was going to say this somewhere in the opening and I forgot, so I'm remembering it right now. So we are over 200 conversations, John.
Yeah.
That's so much talking.
Yeah.
But what we're talking about is something that's not like native to our cultural experience, which is these ancient Jewish literature, right? In the story of Jesus.
Right.
And so two like white middle-class guys, you know, who have lived in the same part of the country their whole lives.
It's true.
Well, actually,
we were both born here in Portland.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, totally. So you're right. I guess I was in the Midwest and in Jerusalem for a while. I came back. But even so, we both represent one slice of a demographic in what is American life and the cultures of the world. And yet, somehow, you and I having these conversations about the biblical story can resonate with somebody like Nathaniel, who has a totally different life experience than you and I do.
Right.
And to me, that's just so powerful, man. I think it's the unifying power of the biblical story and the story of Jesus. Of course, the biblical story also divides a lot of people.
Right.
But I think when you're in touch with what the story is about on its own terms, it really brings people together to begin to listen to each other's life experiences, because it's about the human experience in the most universal sense. So I'm just really grateful. Thank you, Nathaniel, for those meaningful words. That's really, really powerful.
You know, one thing I've been reflecting on is that the exile theme seems to be in tension with the heaven and earth theme.
Hmm.
So we talk a lot about how heaven and earth are meant to be united, and in some ways they are now, and that's spreading. And that's the beauty of the kingdom of God that's here, and it's moving. But the exile theme is, this isn't our home.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
you know, they kind of work together a little bit in that, in whatever sense that heaven hasn't invaded earth, we're still exiles.
Yeah.
But to whatever sense that heaven has invaded earth, those moments.
Yeah, that's right.
We're at home. That's home.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I've just been trying to figure out how to think correctly about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it also just depends on what your experience is. Like, if you are somewhere where things are just devastating, then this theme of the exile is such an important theme to hold on to.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I was, as you're sharing, I'm thinking about how Peter, in his first letter, the theme of exiles living in Babylon is from the first opening lines to the last lines of the letter.
Mm.
But he's addressing communities that are under persecution, that are in harm's way because of their allegiance to Jesus. And, you know, their culture did not feel in any way like a hospitable environment they wanted to be in. But yet, at the same time, there can be other moments where, you're experiencing the life and presence of the heavenly kingdom here on earth. And that can be in a relationship that's healthy, or in a fun meal with your friends or with your kids or something. And you're like, this is the right place to be right now with these people. I'm home. I feel like it's a taste of home.
A taste of the age to come.
Yeah, a taste of the age to come. And those can be simultaneous within a single person's life, within a single person's day.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's a good observation, John. There's a dynamic tension between those.
Here's a great comment from Casey in Texas.
My name is Casey, and I'm sending this message from Tyler, Texas. I got into the Bible Project podcast toward the end of 2019. I was going through a time of feeling overwhelmed and overworked and just really stressed out. I felt so weary and burdened. So my friend Tyler, who's a huge Bible Project nerd, told me that he had just started listening to y'all's series on the seventh day rest, and that he wanted me to listen to it so that we could discuss it. So I did, and wow, it wasn't like listening to advice. Listening to that series was a process of thinking deeply about what the Bible says about God's design for rest, and then holding that up to my real life. It's not like you guys just listed a lot of cool things that God's people used to do to observe the Sabbath and then suggested that I do those things too. Instead, you laid out tons of biblical information and patterns and examples of seventh-day rest and showed me how they're all connected to each other and how they point to Jesus. So I didn't go follow three simple steps to be less stressed out in life, and I didn't have to go Google how to do Shabbat. I also won't pretend that life is a cakewalk now that I've started a routine for rest, but I've gained something so much better than good advice. Because of y'all's podcast, I am learning how to read the Bible with patience, with scope, and with the understanding that it is all pointing to Jesus. Tim, John, and everyone who works so hard to produce every single episode, thank you, thank you, thank you.
That's really well said.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Casey. That's amazing to me that our conversations could be so helpful.
It kind of shows that if you do just let the Bible do its thing.
That's totally right. Yep.
People will figure it out, you and the Spirit. Yeah. It is tempting to say, here's then how to rest.
Mm-hmm.
And all sorts of people have different ways of going about that.
Yeah, that's right. I remember, I think I made the comment in the first episode of the Seventh-day Rest Sabbath series that most people, when they listen to something, a teaching on the Sabbath, what they're looking for is like a how-to.
Yeah.
Like walking away with a practical, what should I go do?
Yeah.
To practice rest. And I said from the beginning, we're doing something different. We're following a design pattern through the story of the Bible.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I think it's kind of the principle of you teach, if you give someone a fish, you know, they'll eat for a day. But if you teach someone how to fish, they can learn how to sustain themselves. And to me, that's what it means to help people see the storyline of the Bible, is they can begin to do their own reflections and their own personal responses in a way that you and I could never do, because we're not Casey.
I love that metaphor of the fishing. It's like, teach someone to rest, give them three ways to rest, and they can maybe rest for a day. But lead them to Jesus, who gives them rest.
Yeah.
And
then teach them how to read the biblical story.
Yeah, and maybe more can happen. Yeah. Well, yeah, I want to agree with Casey. Thank you, Tim, for doing that, for leading us through that way. Did you notice that Casey's from Tyler, Texas, and her friend Tyler is the one that told her about? So there's a Tyler from Tyler.
Wow.
And maybe he lays tiles. Who knows?
I didn't notice that. I was noticing that she said y'all's podcast, and it reminded me of when we were in Dallas, Texas, whatever, a year and a half ago for a live podcast, and how I learned the importance of y'all in a new way. Yeah.
Y'all versus all y'all.
Exactly. Yeah.
We got schooled.
All right. I think we're going to hear a comment from Moyo in Nigeria.
Hi, John and Tim. My name is Moyo, listening all the way from Nigeria. First things first, I want to thank you guys for the work that you're doing. You guys have had an immense impact on my own spiritual life. In terms of the series that has had the most impact on me personally, it would have to be the series on generosity, because it taught me how important an abundance mindset is to having a fulfilled spiritual life, and changed my whole attitude on giving. Congratulations on your 200th episode, and I hope to hear more from you guys. Thanks.
Yeah, the abundance mindset. That's an enduring one for me personally from those conversations. I think actually, John, you in your personal life and choices are a much more generous person than I am.
Oh, really?
And yes. Yeah, totally in a number of ways. And I have learned that from this project and working with you on it. And that series was a really important series of conversations for me to try and reframe my own thinking about it real time, you know, in those conversations. So I was impacted in the same way, Moya, that you were, and so thank you for sharing that. That's totally been our experience in the Bible Project. It's just been one of God providing in abundance for the work that we're doing, and just blows me away.
Remember the like extended metaphor that we developed during that podcast series where someone was throwing a party. The guests kind of forgot it was a party, and they started hoarding.
They set up a rebellion in like the pool, in the pool room, right?
In the pool room, yeah.
They start hoarding all the treats. That's right.
Yeah, keeping people out. And the reason why we were using that metaphor was because you said God is the generous host of creation.
Yeah, that's right.
And we opened the video that way. And I don't know if the video landed as well as I hoped it would in terms of that metaphor of the host. But this idea of, if you've ever been hosted by someone who's so generous, it's just such a wonderful experience to go into someone's home, and they just make you feel at home, and there's plenty. And just to think of God through that lens, that was really formative. Mm-hmm. That was wonderful.
Yeah.
And that theme was because our CEO of Bible Project, Steve Atkinson, he wanted us to do it really, really badly. He kept asking us, will you do a video on generosity? And Tim, it wasn't on your list originally.
Not on the theme list. Nope.
No.
Yeah. Steve's persistence just kept it on my brain over the years. And then we just kind of reached this point where I was like, yeah, this makes total sense. I think it was actually after we had done the Tree of Life conversations. I can't remember. Anyway.
I think it was before.
It was before. Okay. Yeah. Anyway. So thank you, everybody, for those comments. We received a lot more. So we just, you know, picked a few. But thank you for your input. It's so encouraging. You know, some other cool things, reflecting back on 2020 from the podcast, we finished the How to Read the Bible series that had been going for like 3 years, almost since the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah.
We finished it with apocalyptic literature.
Yeah. Can I brag on Everett Patterson for a little bit?
Yes. Totally.
Y'all might not know, but there's a gem of a human named Everett on our team. He's responsible for probably 3/4 or more of the Read Scripture posters.
Yep.
And he's an amazing artist. He's an incredible mind. And he also directed the whole How to Read the Bible series.
Yeah, all 19 of them. Yes.
All 19 of them.
Yeah.
He wrote these really wonderful blog posts kind of on the creative process. If you haven't checked those out, I'd recommend it.
Totally. But, Another cool thing in 2020 was having Dr. Carissa Quinn join our podcast conversations. She's been a part of our team since the beginning of 2019, but she's another Hebrew Bible scholar and biblical theology nerd. And so she's actually going to be more involved in making new videos. You'll start hearing her voice in more videos coming in 2021 and going on. That was so great in the Character of God series to have her join that. And she's going to be joining us more in some podcast series that are coming out next year.
Yeah. And we heard a lot of great feedback from people just having her voice here as a woman and just as another scholar. And one of the things about this podcast is we have these conversations and then we sit on them for a long time because we were making the video.
Right.
And we kind of think, oh, it'd be nice to like release the episodes when the video comes out so that you can like kind of get that payoff at the end. Yeah. And sometimes that works, sometimes that doesn't. So like right now, the Family of God series that we're in the middle of, we recorded probably
a long time ago.
So Carissa was not in those conversations, and then we're going to have a whole nother conversation series on the priests coming out in 21.
Yeah.
She's not in that, but we're going to find as many opportunities to bring her in as we can. Speaking of the Family of God, this theme of unity amidst our diversity, our podcast producer, Dan, suggested that we interview Esau Macaulay.
Yeah.
And we got to do that. We got to sit down with him a few weeks ago and hear about his book, Reading While Black. And that interview is coming out probably in January.
Yeah. He's a New Testament scholar reflecting on how he learned to read his Bible in the Black community growing up and the unique perspectives, but also the unique insights into the biblical story that he's been given from that heritage that people who maybe grew up like in your context, John, which is more like white middle-class evangelicalism, things that you probably never heard growing up in church, but that are right there in the Bible. But they're the things that Esau heard growing up in a different setting. So man, that's a cool conversation that's coming out in early 2021. That'll be cool.
Christianity Today just gave him an award for that book. I think like Book of the Year or something.
Oh, sweet. It's well deserved. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. So that's coming out. You just mentioned we're going to have a series on priests in the Bible or the royal priesthood. We're still not sure what we're going to call this video. Actually, it's not just one video.
Yeah. I turned it into six videos.
That's right. I think it's maybe a 6 or 7 hour conversation that'll come out on the podcast that we thought was going to be one video, and then
I just got a little too ambitious.
It turned into six.
A little too nerdy.
It's going to be a 6-video series. That's awesome. It's going to be so cool.
What we found is that as y'all like to get, I'm saying y'all now. I like
that's good. Casey would be proud.
Y'all like to get real nerdy with us. We've yet to get to a point where it's like, nope, that was a little too nerdy. Yeah. So the priesthood series is going in deep.
Yeah,
and totally. It's a great way to go through the story of the Bible through this theme of the royal priest. I'm excited about it.
Let's see. Probably another series coming in 2021 that we're right now in the middle of the conversations is we're crawling through the Sermon on the Mount.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be a 10-part video series that will start in 2021, but will not finish in 2021.
Probably not till fall of 21. Will you see anything? And I don't know when the podcast series will come out, but how many episodes do you predict the podcast series being?
Let's see. Well, we just made it through the Beatitudes.
And Salt and Light.
And Salt and Light. And I think we're 6 hours in.
That sounds about right. 6 or 7.
Yeah.
We did a whole hour just on the word blessed.
Yes. Yeah, totally. I don't know. It'll be like the How to Read the Bible or the God conversations. It's going to be a long, sprawling conversation, but I'm so excited to take yet another deep dive into the Sermon on the Mount. Every time I do, it's always really rewarding.
Hey, one thing I want to plug really quick before we get into this episode is we have a new podcast coming out next year. Not like a new series, but like a new podcast.
Yeah.
Called Reflections. We have a writer on staff, Cherie Hayes, mm-hmm. who's going to be hosting it. It's basically following our weekly Bible study. Mm-hmm. If you've done that at all, it takes a video. It has Tim or Carissa does like a 5-minute audio reflection on a passage of scripture related to that video. And then some discussion questions if you're doing it in a group.
Yeah.
And that Bible study has been really popular and we decided let's do an audio version of it. Mm-hmm. And that's coming out in January. So check that out.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing also to think that that podcast is the current form of an idea that started just like the week that the COVID-19 pandemic hit.
That's right.
When churches were canceling. And actually, one of the last meetings I remember having with a bunch of people on our team is, hey, what should we do? Is there something we could make? So I started, and then Krissa and John jumped in with doing these little weekly Bible studies. And it turns out that so many of you were benefiting from them. We are kind of turning it into its own thing now. So
yeah.
It's beginning as a short podcast, and we're really excited about it. Weekly little Bible studies.
We call it Church at Home because it was at a moment in time where the church was at home. Mm-hmm. All churches, some churches just do the home style thing, but every church was kind of forced to not meet. So it was a resource we wanted to provide, but we're now just calling it the weekly study, right? Or weekly Bible study or
yep.
Bible study. Or
that's right.
And it's going to follow the one-year reading plan that we have.
That's right. Reading through the Bible in 1 year. That's right.
Yes, you read the Bible through in 1 year. Next year, the Bible study mm-hmm. will follow that. So you'll select a passage from the reading.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, what did you select for the first reading?
Chris is doing the first week.
Oh, Chris is doing the first week.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. So I think she's doing it from the Garden of Eden story. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
In the beginning. We've got more classes coming out mm-hmm. on Classroom. We weren't able to record some classes in 20 because of...
Yeah, COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. So we'll be back in the saddle recording in 21. Mm-hmm.
But we are going to be releasing some in 21 that we recorded in 2019.
Yeah,
that have been just being produced and sitting on a shelf waiting for things to get developed for the website, for the classroom. So there'll be new classes coming out in 2021.
Yeah, and some new features on the classroom experience coming out in 21.
Yeah, man, there's a lot going on. Videos and podcasts and blogs and new podcasts and classroom. And man, the localization team.
Oh yeah,
we were just in a meeting. 900 videos got translated into other languages
in just 2020.
In just 2020, that's what Mike
Holy
said.
Holy cow!
Mike McDonald, who's leading the team that is leading the teams all over the world, translating videos. Almost 900 videos.
And I'm sure there's people listening who touch those videos all over the world. Thank you so much.
Yeah, really mind blowing.
Yeah, there's lots of languages. You can find it on our website. The different languages that are going. Anything else that we should talk about?
Probably. To me, it's just amazing the way the Bible Project content has just continued to spread around the world in this season when you and I have spent more time sitting at home.
Yeah.
Not leaving our homes, you know, more than I think I ever have. And I've enjoyed it, but there's been this interesting contrast where it's also the things that you and I have got to be a part of through the Bible Project have actually connected with more people than ever before. And I'm just so humbled and amazed by that and grateful to be a part of this with you, John.
Yeah. Yeah, me as well. And I'm also grateful that we started talking about, you know, our mission is experience the Bible as unified soilies of Jesus. But we've been having this conversation underneath of that, which is to what end? Not just to be Bible nerds, just to be Bible nerds.
Yeah.
Just to understand the Bible because we want to be really good at ancient literature, but that it is formative, like it is shaping us. Mm. And we've talked about how two things, we want to see more unity.
Yeah.
And we actually have seen this incredible amount of unity and all these traditions coming together and saying, yes, this story, we're living into the story.
Unity among followers of Jesus, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that there's more shalom in the world. And I was thinking about that as you were talking because, yeah, you know, you're feeling this angst of loneliness. I think a lot of people are. We're kind of cooped up. Some of us are like out of work. Some of us have friends, are really at risk for the virus.
Some of us have lost people that we love this year.
Yeah, there's just a lot of pain and suffering and angst. And the hope is that this story really does bring us to Jesus, who is the ultimate, you know, ultimate say and ultimate power, and will bring comfort to those who mourn. And so how are we providing shalom in our communities, in our homes, and in our cities? So that's just a hope that I want to hold on to.
Well said, John. There's no way you and I, or anyone listening to this right now, can know how each of us ought to respond in our own unique context, right?
Yeah.
And embody the story of Jesus's generous love in our own neighborhood and family and on our street. But we think the Spirit of God knows and can guide us to do that. To facilitate that, we just want to spend a lot of time dwelling in the biblical story, because amazing things happen when people do that. So yeah, to that end, here's to a rich, challenging, but good year.
Yes.
And I trust that the Spirit has many more good things in store next year.
Yes. To find out what we're up to next year, you can go to bibleproject.com/turnthepage. Every dollar that comes in December, we get to actually put towards our 21 mission, which is really cool. And there's a lot of stuff we want to do. But there's also a lot of other great organizations doing a lot of great stuff. So please be generous in the way that Spirit leads. We are taken care of. And we're really grateful that you're along on this journey with us.
Yep. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great end of your year. We'll pick up the conversation in 2021.
Hey, this is Andrew, and I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Hi, this is Tiffany, and I'm from Louisville, Kentucky.
Hi, this is Andre, and I'm from Brazil.
Hi, everyone. This is Linda Emmerich from Bavaria, Germany, and I first heard about the Bible Project a couple months ago on YouTube when it recommended me one of their videos, The Tree of Life, which immediately caught my interest. And since that day, I can't stop binge-watching all their amazing videos.
I use the Bible Project for their podcast to better understand the Bible for what it's meant to be and not for how I grew up with it.
I use Bible Project for my family's personal Bible study.
My favorite thing about the Bible Project is the diversity of art styles that are incorporated to the videos.
We believe the Bible is a unified story that leads to Jesus.
And we're a crowdfunded project by people like me.
Find free videos, study notes, podcasts, classes, and more
at BibleProject.com.